Hello, welcome back to A Ball of Pemberley, Chapter 6. This is Part 3. Dear, please tell us everything. I heard the colour of the dress I am wearing at this moment is the colour to wear this coming season, but since you spend time in the city, you know exactly what to wear and what not to wear. Mrs. Bennet patted the free spot next to her. Elizabeth looked at her mother and sister and shook her head. At least, they were occupied with something else. A death in the family, the surprise of Wickham, a young girl searching hungrily for murder and mystery. What else could happen to make this day more surprising? At that moment, a loud bang could be heard from one of the other rooms, and all the ladies jumped, shocked by the unexpected sound. Of course, this dull day at the countryside could definitely need a bit more excitement. Elizabeth sighed, and she opened the door. Awaiting haughtily in her most ostentatious frock was Lady Catherine de Bourgh. In most cases, perhaps every case, for Lizzie could not think of one occasion when it was otherwise, her arrival would be most unwelcome. But in an odd twist of circumstance, Elizabeth was grateful for the distraction. In desperate need of levity, Mrs. Darcy seemingly put aside her old prejudices and greeted her former rival with something that bordered on reverence. "How delightful it is to see you," she exclaimed. "Please, make yourself at home. Though I know our humble Pemberley is nothing to the grandeur of your Rosings Park." Lady Catherine was a bit mystified, but fortunately she had grown so accustomed to people paying up to her, and so certain that she deserved such deference, that she soon brushed it off and nearly forgot of Mr. Collins' tragic passing. Wearing a smile, she ventured right past the now-widowed Mrs. Collins, only stopping to remark, "My dear child, you really ought to be wearing a black veil. Surely there must be one somewhere in this establishment." Suddenly, Catherine Morland was listening intently, to the point of bypassing Anne, who also sauntered in. "My goodness, it is just as I feared," thought Miss Morland, who had only caught the words that excited her most. "The black veil. It is as I suspected. There must be some foul play afoot." But for Miss Morland, who longed for an adventure, the idea could not but excite her. So the black veil was somewhere to be found in Pemberley House. Catherine resolved on finding it. Marianne and Eleanor entered the room just then, quite unaware of all that had been happening. Marianne feared that unless something exciting happened soon, she was going to be in for a dull evening. "Apart from the Miss Bennets, is there anyone here that we know?" "I'm afraid not, dearest," Eleanor replied, "and I am afraid we shall only be introduced to the young gentleman here that Mrs. Bennet has already rejected for her girls." "If only Mr. Willoughby would come," Marianne sighed. Eleanor looked questioningly at her sister. "I've been meaning to ask you about him. Why do I get the impression that you have already been introduced?" Before Marianne could answer her sister's most penetrating question, the doors of the ballroom opened once again to admit a procession of servants armed with towers of fine table linens, trays of polished wine glasses and champagne flutes, and half a dozen or so extra chairs. Behind them followed one of the gardeners, wheeling in a topiary that he had, for the occasion, pruned into somewhat of a lopsided heart, despite having been told on more than one occasion by the Darcys that they were not fond of such lavish displays. At the sight of all this, those gathered were suddenly reawakened to the purpose of their visit to Pemberley, the ball. There had been so much gossip, so many events, both comic and tragic, that the visitors had almost forgotten that a festive evening of dancing, dining, drinking, and dalliance awaited them.